Have you ever eaten chocolate, hoping for comfort or clarity, only to end up with a pounding head or foggy brain? Today we are unpacking why chocolate can feel like a brain booster one day and a brain burden the next. Welcome to the Migraine Heroes podcast, a podcast for people living with chronic migraines, years of pain, misunderstanding, and no answers. I'm Diane Ducarme, and I've helped more than 1,000 people reduce the burden of migraines and feel more in control. Each episode brings you grounded insight into what your body might be asking for and what can truly help. Recently, a customer shared something that really stayed with me. She wrote, "This is a game changer for me and for my family. The constant brain fog and dizziness are so much less, and the fear of pain is completely gone. A huge thank you to the team." What struck me most when I read her message was not only the reduction in symptoms, dizziness and fogginess, it was the absence of fear. Because when migraines take over your life, it's not just the pain itself that is difficult, it's the constant anticipation of it, the uncertainty, the feeling that your brain could turn against you at any moment. And this is something I see again and again in this work. The moment migraines stop feeling random and start making sense, everything begins to shift. You begin to see the patterns. You understand what your body is telling you. And little by little, that fear begins to fade because you finally feel that you have something to work with. That clarity comes from slowing down and looking at the whole picture, your medical history, your patterns, your other symptoms, and the questions that often remain unanswered. This month, I've set aside to personally hold more of these 90-minute migraine sessions, and I'm offering them at no cost. If that feels important for you, you can book a session using the link in the podcast show notes or download the Migraine Heroes app and follow the Getting Started steps to reserve your session. Now, take a deep breath and let's dive in. In this episode, you will learn which 5 compounds in chocolate directly affect your brain and migraine threshold, so you stop blaming yourself and start understanding your biology. How to tell whether chocolate is helping or hurting you based on clear body signals you can notice the same day. And how to enjoy chocolate more safely without triggering a cascade of neurological overload. Stay with me till the end, because at the end of this episode, you will know exactly how to decode your body's response to chocolate without giving it up blindly or suffering unnecessarily. First, let's acknowledge something really important. If chocolate triggers symptoms for you, you're not weak, undisciplined, or imagining things. Many people with migraines feel trapped between craving relief and fearing consequences, and that push and pull is exhausting. From a Western scientific perspective, chocolate is not a single substance. It's a complex biochemical package containing multiple neuroactive compounds. From a migraine-sensitive brain, this matters profoundly. Let's break down the 5 main compounds that determine whether chocolate becomes a brain booster or a brain burden for you in your home. The first compound is theobromine. Theobromine is a mild stimulant related to caffeine, and it increases heart rate and cerebral flow more gently than caffeine. But for a sensitized nervous system, even gentle stimulation can be too much or can be just the right amount. Research published in the Journal of Headache and Pain suggests that migraine brains have altered sensory processing and excitability, making them less tolerant to vasoactive substances. For some people, theobromine improves alertness. For some others, it's going to contribute to vascular instability, a known migraine pathway. So theobromine is going to be a booster if you feel calm focus, or a burden if you feel pressure, pulsing, or restlessness. The second compound, which is a little surprising in some way, is caffeine. Chocolate contains smaller amount of caffeine than coffee, but caffeine, as you may know, has a dual effect. It can constrict blood vessels temporarily, which is why it appears in some headache medications, actually. But when caffeine wears off, there's also rebound dilation that can occur. A review in Current Pain and Headache Reports showed that irregular caffeine exposure increases headache frequency in susceptible individuals. So caffeine compound will be a booster if it gently lifts your fatigue, but it's going to be a burden if it triggers a delayed headache later that day or the next morning. The third compound is phenylethylamine. It's often called the love molecule. Phenylethylamine increases dopamine release. Sounds great, until dopamine spikes become unstable. A study in neurology highlights that migraine brains have dopaminergic hypersensitivity, meaning small changes can create nausea, yawning, and head pain. So phenylethylamine will be a booster if you feel uplifted and steady, will be a burden if you feel overstimulated, nauseous, or emotionally volatile. The fourth compound is our friend, the histamine. Histamine and other biogenic amine. Chocolate is a histamine-releasing food. For people with reduced thiamine oxidase activity, histamine accumulates and triggers inflammation. According to a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, histamine intolerance is underdiagnosed and strongly associated with headaches. Histamine is a booster if your digestion stays calm, is a burden if you flush, feel pressure, or develop sinus-like pain. The fifth compound are oxalates. Oxalates are naturally occurring compounds that can irritate tissues and deplete minerals like magnesium. And research in nutrients shows that high oxalate intake may worsen neurological irritability in people already low in magnesium, a mineral that is critical for migraine prevention. So oxalate is going to be a booster if your muscles stay relaxed, a burden if you feel tension in your neck, your jaw, or your scalp. So what does Western science tell us? Chocolate is not good or bad. It's a neurological stress test. Your reaction reveals how sensitive, inflamed, or depleted your system is in that moment. To understand how the East perceives chocolate, let's look at its origin, because it is quite surprising. Chocolate's ancestor was a neurological tool. Let me explain. So long before chocolate ever crossed oceans, its heart was firmly rooted in what is now called Mexico. So for the Olmec, and later the Maya and the Aztecs, cacao was not a treat, but a functional ritual substance, a bitter, energizing drink used to sharpen the mind, support endurance, mark ceremonies, and meditate between the physical and the spiritual worlds. It was consumed without sugar, often combined with chili, maize, or flowers, and prized for its effects on alertness, circulation, and mood. Cacao beans themselves held such value that they became currency, offerings, and symbols of power and of fertility. And this framing matters. Chocolate began as a neurological and ceremonial tool, not as a dessert. Chocolate as we know it took a sharp turn after the Europeans encountered cacao in the 1500s. Sugar, milk, and heat processing transformed it from a sacred stimulant into a sweet indulgence, and the first solid chocolate bar didn't appear until 1847 in England. And then it reached India and China quietly through trade and missionary routes in the 17th and 18th century, where it remained a curiosity rather than a cultural pillar. Now, from a traditional Chinese medicine lens, this is exactly why cacao itself is not the same thing as modern chocolate. Traditional Chinese medicine has always judged foods not by name, but by nature, flavor, and preparation. And preparation changes everything. Raw or minimally processed cacao is viewed as bitter, mildly warming and moving. It can support circulation, gently lift the mood, and help stagnant energy when used sparingly and in context. In that form, it may benefit people who feel flat, cold, mentally sluggish, or emotionally low, especially when paired with warming foods or taken earlier in the day. But once cacao is heavily altered with sugar, milk, emulsifiers, and eaten in excess, it becomes a very different substance. It becomes cloying, damp-producing, and overstimulating. In traditional Chinese medicine terms, this version burdens the spleen, generates dampness and heat, agitates the shen, and can drive energy upward, showing up as headaches, migraines, anxiety, restlessness, or poor sleep. So same plant, radically different outcome. The effect isn't about the chocolate being good or bad. It's about who you are, when you eat it, and how it's prepared. So what can you do today in your home? You can try this simple experiment at home. The next time you eat chocolate, you pause, you take 3 slow breaths before the first bite, and you eat it alone. Not after stress, it shouldn't be stress triggered, but also not on an empty stomach. And then you observe your body for 2 hours, not just your head, but your overall mood, digestion, and muscle tension. This is not restriction, this is a relationship building with your nervous system. And you can try the experiment with another higher quality chocolate and see whether that makes a difference. If you're a woman, pay attention to the timing of your cycle when you consume it. That may influence too, but that will be the object of another podcast. And remember, every small step you take moves you closer to freedom. You are powerful, you are resilient, and you are no longer alone. Keep rising, my green hero.